And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, 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 everybody. I'm Ray Shasho. Welcome to the show where we interview legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Joe Dennison has been hailed by critics as the Jimi Hendrix of the violin because of his innovative style on the Viper Electric 7-string electric violin. Joe has worked with Sheryl Crow, Bruce Springsteen, Phoebe Snow, Everclear, Richie Blackmore, Alex Skolnick, Smokey Robinson, Les Paul, Peter Criss from Kiss, Renaissance, and as a soloist with jazz at Lincoln Center and the New York City Ballet. Joe is the lead singer and violinist for the progressive rock band Stratotherius, which has recently released their fifth CD entitled Guilty of Innocence on Melodic Revolution Records. Guilty of Innocence is not only great, but one of the most hectic and heart-stopping albums I've listened to, states Music from the Other Side of the Room's Zachary Nathanson. Splashy and theatrical, Guilty of Innocence is a howl for justice delivered by virtuosos, completely in sync with one another, writes Strings Magazine, the Bible for the string musical world. Joe Dennison can be heard on over 100 CDs and jingles as a violinist and string arranger, a BMI Jazz Composer's Grant receipt, and winner of the John Lennon Songwriting Contest. He has written a solo piece for violinist Rachel Barton Pine, and in 2015 premiered his Concerto for Electric Violin and Orchestra with the Muncie Symphony Orchestra. Joe's original music has been featured on CMT, MTV, VH1, Comedy Central, National Geographic, The Travel Channel, The History Channel, and the Will Ferrell, Adam McKay-produced film Virginity Hit. He also co-wrote the score for the independent film What's Up, Scarlet. Joe is a member of the Sweet Plantain String Quartet, which combines Latin jazz with hip-hop and classical music, and has toured throughout Europe and the U.S. Joe has also released a CD with his acoustic jazz trio titled Exuberance. As an educator, Joe has taught at Mark O'Connor's String Camp and Mark Wood's Rock Orchestra Camp and makes annual appearances performing at the Grand Canyon Music Festival and renowned harmonica virtuoso Robert Bonfiglio. In 2006, Joe co-founded the Grand Canyon School of Rock, an annual music program for local high school students. He regularly travels as a clinician and has contributed articles to Strings, Downbeat, American String Teachers Journal, and Making Music magazine. In 2012, Joe wrote a book on electric violin techniques for Mel Bay Publications titled Plugging In. Joe has made the Downbeat Critics Poll for Rising Stars in Jazz Rock Violin. Chris Hayes' book, Discovering Rock Violin, lists one of Joe's recorded solos among the top 20 greatest rock violin solos of all time. Joe holds a bachelor's degree in violin performance and jazz violin from Indiana University and a master's in jazz/commercial violin from Manhattan School of Music. For more information about Joe Dennison, visit www.joedennison.com and www.stratosphereus.com. Information on the new album, Guilty of Innocence, and new music video, Behind the Curtain. Please welcome multi-instrumentalist, composer, and singer for progressive rock / jazz fusion band Stratotherius, also known as the Jimi Hendrix of the violin, Joe Dennison. How you doing, Joe?
Wow, I'm doing great. I thought she sent you the edited bio. Oh, my God.
I never use the edited bio.
What do I say after that? I thought you were going to give them my phone number and address and, you know, what my favorite foods are and all that stuff.
That's at the end of the show.
Okay, okay. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be on.
Oh, you're very welcome. First, I want to mention you got some dates coming up. The first one is on March 20th, and that's going to be on Cornelia Street Cafe, right, with Steve Sandberg?
Yes. Steve is a jazz pianist,
right.
And my first time playing with him, I'm actually stepping in for Zach Brock, who's the new violinist with Snarky Puppy.
Oh, okay.
And he's worked with Steve Sandberg for a while, and that's going to be a fun gig. His compositions are really cool. So I do a lot of work as a sideman with different mm-hmm. artists in addition to my own stuff, which is a lot of fun.
Then you have some gigs with Status Furious as well. Like you said, you're doing some side work, then you got your band, and you got your solo efforts. Stratofurious, you'll be in New York at the Drum on the 19th. You'll be at Olives on the 20th, the 27th in Erie, Pennsylvania at Sherlock's. Jamestown at Mojo's on the 28th. And then you're going to do your solo stuff. You got dates March 9th in Atlanta at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, on the 10th at the Hyatt Regency in Atlanta, and on the 4th, Urbana, Illinois, at the Colwell Playhouse. I just want to make sure we get all that out for you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, just to clarify, some of those are in April, some of those are in March. The Atlanta conference, it's a strings conference. I'm doing that on March 9th and 10th. Cornelia Street, March 20th. The Stratospherious show, all those Stratospherious shows are in April. So April 19th, we're at Drum in New York City. April 20th, we're at Olives in Nyack. 26th, we're at Erie, Pennsylvania. That's April. 27th, we're in Jamestown, New York.
Now, are you going to be adding some additional dates soon? We want you to come down to Florida, of course.
I'd love to come down. Actually, my label is down there in Orlando. We're going to work on it, and we'll let you know.
Awesome.
We'd love to come down to Florida and play. We're actually, after April, I want to try to get back into the writing mode and try mm-hmm. to write for whatever the next album is going to be. So that's one of my goals.
What's pretty cool, you're born in Russia, but you grew up in Cleveland. I mean, that's got to be a vast difference in cultures right there. Some of the Russian prog bands are awesome. You know, there's a band called Aquarium that was formed in 72. Arsenal is another band from St. Pete, which I think you were born and raised, right, in St. Pete, Russia?
That's my birth city, St. Petersburg.
Echoes and Signal, another band, and the Grand Astoria, the Korea, Raj Vitalis, which is a favorite of mine. They've got some great prog bands in Russia.
Yeah, I think Aquarium was just here in New York performing, and I saw Boris Grebenchikov, their lead singer, back in the early 90s when he came to Cleveland. You really know your Russian bands. I'm very impressed.
I'm a big fan of prog music, so.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Cleveland was a very, very different place, but I we came over when I was four, so I kind of, it was a bit of a culture shock the first few years, and then I adjusted, and I grew up in Ohio. I feel like a Midwestern guy, you know, I do a Russian guy.
You have no accent whatsoever. You're kind of like, is it Mila Kunis, you know, when she came over here?
Yeah.
She doesn't, you know, I mean, she can speak Russian, though, which is still cool. Can you speak Russian at all?
Yes.
I
make some grammatical mistakes, and my wife busts my chops all the time. But because she grew up in Russia, you know. But I could speak, and our kids speak. We make sure they know Russian. We spoke to them only in Russian in the house.
Really?
So, you know, they can better communicate with their grandparents, and just good to have two languages.
Cool. All I know is Das Vidanya, pretty much.
That's good. Did
anyone influence you in becoming a violin player? You play the 7-string violin, which is awesome. I guess most violins are 4. They tune in G, D, A, and E, right, pretty much?
Correct.
How do you tune a 7-string?
Well, it's from the top down. The top four are E, being the highest, A, D, G, going down in fifths. Then it keeps going to C, which is viola range. Then it goes down to F, and it goes all the way down to B flat, which is actually a whole step below the lowest note on a cello.
Right.
If you play electric bass, it would be the first fret on the A string. So the instrument I play, and mind you, half of my professional existence, I play a regular traditional violin, and the other half of the gigs are on the Viper. I play a Viper 7-string electric violin made by Mark Wood, and I've had it for 15 years now.
You said it's made by Mark. He actually makes violins. I didn't know that.
He invented this kind of violin. It's shaped like a flying V guitar.
Right.
And it's got a unique patented harness system which connects to your chest, so you don't have to hold it with your chin. You can walk around and have the instrument kind of attached to your body with a guitar strap, which is very liberating for guys like me who sing and play at the same time. And it's a real revolutionary design. And as soon as a lot of people, it's not for everyone. It takes getting used to. It's almost a different instrument than a violin. For my needs, it's great. And there's a lot of great Viper players out there.
You're an amazing player, and not only are you an amazing player, but you got a great voice, man. I was surprised.
Thank you.
When I heard "Guilty of Innocence," which is a great album, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I did give it 5 stars, but.
Honored.
Your voice is incredible. It's such a great rock voice, you know, and the album blew me away. I guess I was expecting something else from the album, more, you know, maybe, you know, kind of instrumental type, you know, things. But, no, this thing is a real rocker, most of it anyway. It's a great album.
Well, thank you. You know, I feel like it's our heaviest album. It was 3 years in the making. We kind of recorded it in increments. We would write four songs, go in, record, write 3 songs, go in, record. I kind of like doing it that way because we got to focus on those few songs instead of trying to knock out an album in a week, you know.
Right.
We got to sit with it and tweak stuff. It's our heaviest. It's our most focused album. And, you know, I got a master's degree in jazz, and I studied jazz and classical all my life, but I keep going back to the music that I loved as a kid growing up. You know, Led Zeppelin and Rush and, you know, Kiss and AC/DC and Muse and Radiohead. I'm a rock guy. I love progressive rock. I like heavy rock.
Right.
But I like intelligent heavy rock with interesting musical lines and expanded parts, but also hooks that you can remember, you know, after listening to the song. I'm really into hooks. So... I try to take the best elements of my favorite music and kind of, you know, what would I like to see in a band? And, I try to take the influences of my favorite violin and guitar players and kind of mold them into my sound.
So I don't know, man.
What all artists try to do. So we're very satisfied with this album, and I'm glad you like it.
Electric violin may be taking over guitar with Gibson having issues now. You know, they may file for bankruptcy,
sure.
Which shocks the hell out of me.
What's that all about?
I don't know. I don't know. They got so many divisions, though, you know, they'll probably rebound. But they're saying that, you know, the guitar player is not around anymore. There's nobody that's like that wants to be the star guitar player like there used to be. And
yeah, it's funny. Maybe it's because... maybe I'm being presumptuous, but there's the age of the guitar hero. You know, if you name me like 5 young guitar heroes under age 25 that are out there in the mainstream that are known.
I can't think of any under 20.
I know some personally, some that play in my band, but I don't know how famous those guys are. But back in the day, you know, where are the Eddie Van Halens and the you know, Steve Vais and you know, all those guys? It seems like kids grow up, you know, the laptop is the, it's laptop hero now.
You know, laptop hero, yeah, it's cell phone hero.
it's funny. I mean, there's kids that are wizards with Logic Pro, you know, and Reason and all those programs, but never bother to learn the chorus to the song.
I know.
You know, they're influenced by. It's a weird time to live, but I'm a violinist with a huge guitar fetish, and very influenced by the players I mentioned, and Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix and John McLaughlin and all these guys. So I bring that to the violin, and I want to see kids playing air violin. Much as they're playing air guitar.
That's next.
So actually, Mark Wood has a rock orchestra camp in Olathe, Kansas, mm-hmm. every July, where I teach. I've been teaching for 8 years, and it's like the island of broken toys. It's all these string nerds from high school, mainly, that don't fit into their school, but they love to rock out on their violin, viola, or cello. So they kind of find each other, and it's a community of these rocking string players. It's really kind of amazing.
I saw you and Mark in NAMM. Playing. I think you were playing a Beatles tune.
Eleanor Rigby. Yeah, that was
Eleanor
a few
Rigby,
years back.
Yeah. I saw that on YouTube. That was pretty cool.
Thanks. I was trying to make it back there this year, but I had a gig come up on the East Coast I had to do, and I couldn't. I'm a big fan of NAMM. I always see a lot of old friends there.
I was very fortunate to interview other great electric violinists. I interviewed Daryl Way from Curved Air and Jean-Luc Ponty.
Cool.
Who, of course, played with Frank Zappa. So, you know, it's...
Jean was one of my biggest influences. One of the reasons I exist was Jean Ponty.
Is that right?
And I saw him with John Anderson 2 years ago on that
That's
tour
right.
they did.
Yep.
And I got to transcribe one of his solos, which was published in Downbeat magazine, one of my transcriptions of his solos.
Cool.
For the song
Jeeg.
Yeah. One of his early 80s things.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too. Really nice guy.
Yeah, very mellow, very French, very zen. Does a lot of yoga. But definitely a trailblazer on the instrument, for sure.
You know, I hear a little bit of influence in a couple of tunes from, like, a Robbie Steinhardt from Kansas. Am I right on that, or am I wrong?
Definitely.
Were you a fan of Kansas?
I am a fan of Kansas, and just the fact we've had a few comparisons with Kansas, the fact they use a violin, and I like their writing, that's there. Definitely among my influences.
Go ahead.
No, this last year I've been on a big Spock's Beard kick. Discovered the band a year and a half ago. I was late to the party, but I've been obsessively listening to them, so I think they influenced the writing for this album a lot, especially the last song. And they kind of have a Kansas vibe, too, especially the new version of the band with Ted Leonard. So,
well, Guilty of Innocence, that's your fifth studio album. What did you set out to accomplish with this album? You said it was a heavier album. Is that what you accomplished? You wanted to do more of a rock thing?
I wanted to do a straight-up rock album. Mm-hmm. In previous albums, I would have kind of a jazzy tune here and there, and I kind of veer off into different territories. I had like a ska influence tune. I really wanted something that just grabbed you by the balls from the get-go. You know?
Did.
And I wanted to
accomplish it.
Good. Mission accomplished. But yeah, it's I just wanted to be true to myself. And I've been criticized that I have such wide, musical palette that sometimes I kind of get all over the place on the records. I really wanted to make a rock record.
Mm-hmm.
No apologies, So there you have it. And I also wanted to make something that the last song, Soul Food, was my first attempt at writing an extended form kind of progressive rock track that was over 12 minutes long. I definitely wanted to close the album with something like that, something epic. I had written prior to that a 30-minute electric violin concerto for full orchestra, which I'd never done before, but I'd never written a long form piece for my band. And that was a fun thing. So I'm hoping to maybe in the next record we do go a little more in that direction, in kind of a epic prog direction.
Yeah, epic prog, exactly. Sure, maybe a concept album. That'd be kind of cool.
I thought about that. It's got to be the right concept. People have asked me about it. Someday, it's on my bucket list to do a concept album. It's got to be right. I have to really be careful with it.
I know what you mean.
But that's a good idea.
Well, you can quote me on this. Guilty of Innocence is progressive rock gold. I wanted to use that kind of metaphor from the Olympics and everything. I was going to say it won a gold medal, but I said progressive rock gold. I said prodigious, brilliant, and powerful in every track, 5 stars. And you can,
thank you so much.
You can write that down anywhere because it's a great album. The some of the tracks I wanted to talk about, Behind the Curtain, Real Rocker. I got to ask you, who's the man behind the curtain?
You know, it's funny, that song, it was written in 2014, and it really is even more relevant now with the Me Too movement. The song is sort of about the shamed celebrity, it's like being the guy wearing the scarlet letter who's been shamed. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows you, and you have nowhere to hide. That's sort of the concept. What's it like to be the Anthony Weiner or the Harvey Weinstein? You know, it doesn't. I don't make a hero out of the protagonist or whatever. I just kind of observe it and say, what is it in us that kind of there's a certain pleasure in bringing people down at the same time, even though they deserve it. So it examines that a little bit, tracing back to, you know, public executions, which still exist in a lot of places in the world.
Oh yeah,
you know. Why is it that we can't turn away, and we're glad it's not us, but we also kind of, there's a certain animalistic release that comes from bringing someone else down, but at the same time we all have our own demons. So that's kind of the overtone of the song, and we just made a video for it with a really cool actor friend of mine named Max McGuire.
I saw the video on YouTube, I believe, Behind the Curtain.
It's there. Yeah. The series Behind the Curtain.
Take Your Medicine, awesome rocker. Again,
thank
great
you.
Great vocals.
Thanks a lot. That was the first song I wrote for the album. That was one of the first ones we recorded.
That was the first one. I'm just going to come down to talk about some of these tracks. Guilty of Innocence had incredible energy. Face. Another cool track, a little spacey, then heavy rocker, then gets into a heavy rocker atmosphere. Affluenza, a bit funky. Bit funky track.
Yeah, that was written by our drummer Luciana, and she's a big. She comes from an R&B funk background and a jazz background, so that was really her personality, and it's also kind of speaks to the times. I could get into that later, but if you want to go through the list of songs, you know.
Go ahead. We'll talk about it.
You know, that song is sort of, I envision like a rich person in an ivory tower out of touch with society. And we all know certain people like that, they're in power, you know.
Hell yeah.
But she didn't name names, but she wrote the lyrics, and it totally evokes that. And, you know, it's funny how it's kind of, a lot of the songs are current that way, you know.
Well, yeah, that's another, you know, great part about this album. You can really relate to it, especially now. You know, every track. Parallel Reality, which is, well, I love that Parallel Reality. What a great title!
you
can make a movie out of just that title.
There probably is one. I'll look it up. Maybe some. But that one was written in. I was on a long tour in Sweden, and I was homesick. It's about missing my kids. I was up all night missing my kids, and I wrote that song. It's basically about touring as a parallel reality, where your only responsibility is kicking ass on stage, and then you're kind of living in Neverland the rest of the day.
That's right.
It's not real life, you know.
Oh. That applies to all musicians that are on tour. And,
sure.
You know.
Sure, a lot of people can relate.
The limelight, yeah. Awesome violin playing on that track.
Oh, thank you. And I play mandolin on it as well.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool. Is the mandolin, is that electric as well?
No, it's acoustic.
It's acoustic. Oh, okay.
That's acoustic. That's an instrument I kind of learned a few years ago and really got into playing. It's fun. I love it.
Yeah, Game of Chicken, that's the one of the tracks that sounded very Kansas to me. And that's I think that was my favorite track.
Oh, thank you. That one is very political, actually.
it's gotta be one of those.
Yeah, it sort of touches on, if you know what the Game of Chicken is, it's I could explain it. So yeah, it's two cars that are speeding towards each other, and whoever swerves first is the loser.
That's right.
The chicken. You know?
Right.
And I was listening to years ago to NPR, when there was a government shutdown, or, you know, there, every time there was a fiscal deadline, they were going to shut down the government. And someone said, right, they're constantly playing a game of chicken with each other.
A chicken, yeah.
And it sort of touches on how we're all just screaming at each other and arguing and not listening to each other, stuck in our own social media echo chambers and headed towards a disaster if we don't wake up. So that's sort of what the song is about. And I don't like to get too specific in my songs. I use a lot of symbolism. People can interpret it how they want. There's a certain overtone to each piece, you know.
Well,
that's
a great message. You know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, when you think about the Democrats and Republicans, you know, playing chicken with each other every day.
It's about the Democrats and Republicans, and it's about us.
Yeah.
On Facebook, and you just insulting each other and not solving any real problems and not
true.
Listening to each other. You know.
That's true. Right now, it's about the politicians and the NRA and this whole mess we have with, you know, the shootings in the schools. And, you know, it's like,
yep,
they're trying to find a fine line between, you know, pleasing the NRA and pleasing the people, you know what I mean? Trying to do something, actually do something,
right,
about.
And why
know,
please
control.
The NRA?
Yeah, exactly. They got enough money, they're, you know.
But it's amazing what I'm inspired by the teenagers. I'm inspired by the students and what they're doing and their passion.
I am too. I think it's sure. awesome that they're, you know, telling people not to come down, you know, for spring break, you know, until something gets resolved. And I think that's a great idea. I wish
they hold a lot of power, and they're getting businesses to boycott the NRA. They're,
yeah,
you know.
Yep, I think that we're to the point enough's enough, you know. Nobody has to go out there and buy an automatic weapon. It's not necessary. I think they should stop manufacturing those weapons. You know, you want your handgun, you want your rifle for going out and hunting, fine, you know. But we're not taking your weapons away. Just stop those kinds of weapons, you know.
There will always be a black market, even if they ban those weapons. But even if it saves any lives, and it makes it that much harder for people to get them,
right,
it's a good thing. You're never
look how easy it was. Look how easy it was for the last guy to get them. You know, it was way too easy. And gun owners are going to tell.
Yeah,
I know. We don't want to go there.
It's ridiculous, but I'm really hoping, even though we got this current administration, this current government, that this time, I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back. I think they're not going to let this go.
I think you're right.
They're going to ride it into the next election. And
I hope
the next two elections.
Yeah, my daughter's a teacher, and you know, and her husband's a teacher, and you know, we got grandkids, and you know, it just breaks my heart, it really does. Another
yeah.
favorite of mine, Soul Food, which you mentioned, it's a incredible track, you know, and I love the way you finish this album with that song.
Thank you. Yeah, that's also a specific concept to that song. So I was on that same tour in Sweden, actually. It inspired a lot of songs. We were in this kind of remote town called Östersund, which is like mid-north Sweden. It's a small city with a population of like 70,000, something like that, maybe less. But we were done with our concert. We were hungry, and it was freezing outside, and there was one little place that was open called the Jazz Kitchen. The Jazz Coquette, it was called. And they invited us, and there was this crazy jam session there. And all these amazing musicians, some of the best musicians I ever heard, came out of nowhere and just killing it. So we all played. This was with Sweet Plantain, my string quartet.
Right.
And then the next day, they said, just come and hang out. We had a free day. So they just cooked for us all day, and we gave them a free concert. And the food was like five-star Michelin-level food. I mean, it was all farm-to-table, just insane, you know. So the song is sort of a tribute to anybody that feeds the band. I remember like tours I've done in Alaska, in the deserts of Arizona, you know, on the Navajo reservations where there's nothing around, and then people just open their hearts to you and cook for you and
mm-hmm.
kind of show their love and appreciation that you're there. And it's sort of a tribute to that whole situation.
Sounds like you were really inspired in Sweden.
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of made that song universal because over my travels I've met a lot of people like that and had some amazing experiences. So, yeah, it's pretty simple. It's almost kind of tongue-in-cheek that I wrote a 12-minute epic song about feeding the band. but that was the idea.
You have some amazing players on the album as well. Alex Kolnick from Testament is on the album. Randy Mustein, I guess, from The Fringe. I always have a hard time with his name. Is it Rave Tesar? Is that how you say his last name?
Rave Tesar.
Tesar from Renaissance. I remember when he came to Renaissance. I interviewed Annie Haslam.
Well, I could talk a little bit about each of these guys
once you finish.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt. Rave has been a long partner, longtime partner of the band and myself. He's engineered. My last five records, my jazz record, our live record. He engineered a lot of stuff. He's mixed a lot and mastered a lot of stuff. And he plays on two tracks. That's his piano solo on Soul Food, and he does a organ, like a synth thing on Affluenza. And he introduced me to Annie Haslam, and Sweet Plantain collaborated with Renaissance on their orchestral tour. And we're playing at NJ PAC with them on May 11th.
Cool.
It all goes full circle. There's actually a DVD coming out of Renaissance Live with the mini orchestra, and we're on there. That was from the Keswick Theater back in October. So that's Rave. Randy McStein is an up-and-coming young prodigy who's like a guitar prodigy when he was 10. He's one of these crazy people that he could do anything. So he's played drums, bass, and guitar in my band at one point or another. I think if he learned violin, I'd be out of a job. And he recently toured with Stu Hamm on guitar. Playing guitar for Stu Hamm. He was Vinnie Morse's backup guitarist. He just played with Neil Morse. The guy is insane. So I had him guest on the album, and he's going to be on all these shows with me in April playing bass, actually. So he's a guy to watch. And he's got his own projects. His own writing is incredible. And Alex was my old friend who played on two of our albums, Adventures of Stratospherius and our live album. And I wanted to reconnect with him, and I came over to his apartment. He laid down this wicked solo from the last song. So I tried to include as many people as possible.
Yeah, you mesh very well with Renaissance. I mean, I like to see you do more stuff with them. Great, I always loved Renaissance.
Here's hoping. Yeah, that's such an amazing band, and Annie Haslam is incredible. She's a force of nature, and the fact that they keep it going, and the music's great. Yeah, it's a real honor to work with her.
She actually sung to me on the phone, which was, from her last album, Leonardo.
Oh, really?
The song Leonardo, because she's a big fan of Leonardo da Vinci, and she sang that on the phone. I was just, like, blown away. I said, man, this private concert from Annie Haslam. How cool was that?
She came. She lives in New Hope area, not far from eastern, lower eastern Pennsylvania. So we were opening for Gary Hoey at Sellersville. She showed up and watched us play, which I was really touched that she actually went to the concert and was very gracious. And,
awesome.
Very incredible person.
You worked with one of your heroes, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that was a really surreal experience. I played with him three times. Once at Madison Square Garden, MetLife Stadium, and what's the stadium where the Phillies play? I keep forgetting. Citizens Bank, maybe? I think that's what it was. So, the craziest thing was MetLife because, 60,000 people screaming at you.
Yeah.
We were the first ones on stage before he came on. That's like I called it a tidal wave of humanity. That's what it is. I've listened to Springsteen since I was 8. I just really got into him when I was a kid. I got all his albums. I'm a huge diehard fan. I would go to multiple shows on a tour. When you a lot of string players are jaded. When you get hired to play in a string section for some big celebrity like that, they don't care because they're not connected with the music a lot of the time.
Right.
But it means so much more when it's somebody that spoke to you as a kid and that you've been listening to all your life. It's really just emotionally intense. We were playing New York City Serenade for from Wild, the Innocent, and the E Street Shuffle. And then 2 hours before showtime, we get called into Bruce's dressing room, and he has an idea. That's how spontaneous he is. He wants to add us to this other song, Jack of All Trades, from the Wrecking Ball album. So we're in Bruce's dressing room, which is in the New York Giants dressing room. He's got a little walled-off curtain area where he's got a couch and his wardrobe. And he's strumming a guitar, singing to us this song. I'm like, pinch me right now. This is happening. So we're just working. There's like 60,000 people out there. We're working out the chorus to this song 2 hours before we got to hit the stage for 60,000 people. So we figure out the chords because the string section, the guys they got could do that on the spot. Then he brings the whole E Street Band in. He's like, yeah, let me run this by. What do you guys think? So it was like that. And he is, when I observe him, like, he'll change the set list every night. Like, half of it will be the standard Warhorse songs, and the other half, he's like, you know what? I think I'll do this Motown cover tonight. Let's just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a bar band. You know, you'll just throw something together, and they're not afraid to take chances and mess up, you know? My friend said he thinks like a jazz musician, and that sums it up, I think.
Kind of his early stuff was a little bit jazzy, you know?
Yeah, and he had jazz players. You know, he had Dave Sanchez. Yep.
Exactly. Clarence.
And all these great guys. And Clarence. And who was the original drummer on Born to Run? The name escapes me, but he came from a jazz background. That's there and everything. There's a lot of extended jams and a lot of improv. You know, I kind of get bored with bands that do everything like a Broadway show. Everything's got to be
right.
No perfect same way every night.
Yeah, it's like a song that's overproduced or an album that's overproduced. You know, you want some mistakes in there. You know, you want it natural. You want it natural.
You totally do, and you want it to breathe, and you want the musicians to be excited about playing every night. And when they're playing the same shit, they phone it in. It stops being exciting, and don't just say it's for the audience. You know, music is like sex. There's got to be something for me, and there's got to be something for you. It can't just be completely one-sided. You know?
and that's the jazz musician mentality, you know? It really is. And, you got to get with that I've had on the show several times. You know, I can call him a friend, is Billy Cobham. I'd love to see you and Billy together.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome.
I'm a huge... Mahavishnu was one of my, Eureka Moment bands, and Billy was one of my favorite drummers of all time, and I saw him at the Cutting Room with Didier Lockwood playing violin with him, 10 years ago, and Didier is a French violinist and one of my biggest influences.
Right.
Not well known in the States, but somebody worth knowing. He just died last week, actually.
My goodness.
But, yeah, Billy Cobham, man, oh my God, when I was in college and I heard Celestial Terrestrial Commuters for the first time with the great Jerry Goodman playing that solo, that was the moment I knew what I was meant to do for the rest of my life. I knew what I wanted to do. That was it, you know. It's like one of those life-changing eureka moments you have, you know.
Yep.
That song, that was it.
Well, a laid-back album like you were talking about that's not overproduced and it just went with the flow was the Spectrum album, you know. The Spectrum album was awesome. Incredible album, and they recorded that really quick. You know, they just went. You know, it went with the flow and got magic. Pretty much.
That's a great album. Tommy Bolin's solos are incredible.
And
I think a lot of the Mahavishnu stuff too was they would bring in a chart that day and kind of sight read it, and play it down once or twice, and let's roll tape. And it was sloppy, but in a beautiful way, you know?
Exactly.
And when you have players of that caliber, they don't need to over-rehearse. It's better to let them kind of, you know, let it be fresh, let it be gritty. And it's funny, I remember Adrian Belew was talking about a solo he laid down for David Bowie, where they purposely made sure he had never heard the song before, didn't have the music, didn't know what was going to happen next. So he would make mistakes. They just kind of kept him in the dark, and they kept that take.
Awesome.
You know?
I love it.
I forget what song it was, but that's such a great way to approach it.
Well, next time I talk to Billy, I'm going to mention you and say, look, let's do Spectrum number 2. You know, let's add this cool cat Joe Denizon who's the Jimi Hendrix of, you know, the violin. I mean, that you would mesh well with him and a couple other, you know, really talented musicians. It would be awesome. You know,
that would be a dream come true. I don't want to take a gig from Jerry Goodman, though. But so, but yeah, that would be an amazing experience. I mean,
Joe, here's a commercial. I don't know what I'm thinking about. Here's a question that I ask everyone that I interview, okay? And I get some interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to play or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Oh, past or present? Okay, I've been asked present before, but not past or present. That's a hard one. That's a challenge. I mean, okay, Miles Davis.
Miles Davis, yep, great answer.
Frank Zappa.
Yep.
Bach. Leonard Bernstein, Ravi Shankar.
Oh yeah.
And from living artists, Neil Morse.
Neil Morse, yep.
Mike Keneally, Steve Vai, John Corigliano. Let me see. I'm sure I'm going to leave out a lot of people too, but those are names that come to mind.
Well, you got a pretty good bucket list.
Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
those would be cool guys.
Yeah.
Jay-Z. I can keep going. I have to get back to you. Stevie Wonder, I guess.
That's a good Beatles. Start.
Beatles.
Yeah.
You like.
The Beatles with electric violin. That'd be cool. I can see that.
Everything with electric violin would be cool, but you know, then again, I'm a little biased, you know. you're preaching to the choir here.
Well, you're an awesome player, man, and keep up the good work. You're an incredible singer. It's a great album. Everybody needs to buy it.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote while you're on the line here?
Well, I just, if you have, are your listeners all over, well, it's streamed, so it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
I just want to plug the shows again, the Stratospherious shows, especially the one in New York, Drum. It's going to be April 19th, Thursday at 8 p.m. We're playing with another great progressive rock band called Eden Song, which has a flute in it, and a group called Two Birds, mm-hmm. which is these great string players from Berkeley. It's kind of a jazz project. So that's April 19th at Drum. April 20th, we're at Olives in Nyack, which is kind of my backyard. I live near there. It's a great bar. We played there a lot. 26th, am I saying the right dates? 26th is a Friday, right?
Yeah.
The 26th of April, we are in Erie, Pennsylvania. No, 27th. 27th of April, we're in Erie, Pennsylvania in Sherlock's. 28th of April, we're at Mojo's in Jamestown. And those shows will be with a band called Liquid Nixon from Erie, and Eric Brewer, who's a great, great guitarist, not as known as he should be, great guitarist, blues guitarist from Erie, who's we played shows with before. So buy the album, check out the shows. The album's Guilty of Innocence, Stratospherious.com or JoeDennenZone.com. And I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you, Joe. For being on the show and for all the incredible music, man. And hopefully you'll get some dates in Florida. I'll come see you. It'll be awesome.
We'll work on it. It's all logistics and money, but we hope to be able to do that soon.
Awesome.
We'll let you
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
For more information about Joe Dennenzone, visit www.joedennenzone.com and www.stratospherious.com. You can buy the incredible latest album by Joe Dennenzone and Stratospherious entitled Guilty of Innocence at Amazon.com and watch their new music video Behind the Curtain on YouTube. Also purchase Joe's book, Plugging In, A Guide to Gear and New Techniques for the 21st Century Violinist, also available at Amazon.com. Very special thanks to the great Ann Layton of Layton Media Music Services Motivation for setting up this interview with Joe Dennenzone today, and, of course, Doug and Don Newsome, the Mighty Twins with BBS Radio, for making it all happen every show. Join me biweekly at our new time and date, biweekly Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on The Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, or the second edition entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. I promise you, you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio, Station 1.